this phrase is not upright, and it means that the proud man is twisted. He is not straight. He is made crooked, right? The proud man. Pride has a way of twisting our character, doesn't it? And making us crooked in our character. Pride is really being self-centered, big time. So pride has a way of twisting us up, makes us think that we're right and everyone else is wrong. You ever meet anybody like that? Hopefully it's not you or me, right? Right? Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way which seems right unto a man or a woman, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Or life forever with God, without God. A sobering thought for sure. On the other hand, following Jesus is the right way. And it leads to eternal life. It leads to life forever with God. Wow. And doesn't pride keep a lot of people out of heaven? Does it ever? So pride puffs us up. Pride twists us up. And then peril number three, pride makes us restless, doesn't it? You ever discover that? Pride makes us restless. It says here in verse 5 that he transgresses by wine. He is a proud man. And he does not stay at home because he enlarges his desires hell. And he is like death and cannot be satisfied. He doesn't stay at home. In other words, someone filled with inflated pride is like a drunken man who never stays at home. He is restless. Why is he restless? Because he is drunk, as it were, not with liquor, rather, but with pride. He's restless because of pride. He's filled with pride. He's filled with himself, his own ego, and he's restless. So men and women, there is no peace in pride. The sin of pride, is there? Do you know why? Because pride brings competition. It seeks a false greatness. It measures itself with others rather than what God's standard is for us to live by. This is one of the problems that the disciples had. They were forever arguing over who was the greatest. And notice what Jesus said over in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, Jesus said these words to the disciples, beginning here at verse 46. "Then a dispute among them," among the disciples, "as to which of them would be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a little child and set him by him." So imagine if I had a little child and just set them up on the podium here. That's what Jesus did. A little lesson, a little visual lesson for his disciples here. He had that little child right up there beside him. As a little lesson, a little visual lesson here. And he says to them, and Jesus, preserving the thought of the thought of their heart, took a little child and set the child by him. And he said this to the disciples, looking at this little child there beside him. "Whoever receives this little child," he no doubt points to that little child, "in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you all will be great." Jesus is telling them, hey, you guys, you're measuring yourself by wrong standards. Put yourself next to a child. You say, but a child is much smaller than I am. Well, physically, yes, true. But the child is greater because the child is humble. A child knows it is a child. And a child is not seeking for false greatness. A child just wants to be accepted and to be loved just as they are. There's no humility in a child. Or there's no pride, rather, in a child, just humble heart of wanting to be accepted and loved. And friend, that's the way we too must come to Jesus to be accepted by him, just as we are, in our sin, in our lostness, and in our unworthiness, in our humility, not in our pride, but in our humility. We come to Jesus just as we are, and realizing that there is nothing good that we can do to save ourselves. Just come humbly before Jesus, as it were, as a child before Jesus, to the cross of Jesus with the faith of a little child. That's how we come to him. The great invitation hymn puts it this way: just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Then listen to the second stanza. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. And so if you're here today without Jesus, let go of self and let go of pride and come to Jesus just as you are, a sinner, which we all are, by the way, in need of a Savior. And then he'll give you peace within your heart that the world cannot give, and that the world cannot experience apart from repentance of sin and faith in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus invites you to come unto me, all you that labor. In other words, you who are restless and are heavy laden or burdened down by the load of sin, and I will give you what? Rest. I will give you rest. Rest of soul and peace within, Matthew 11:28. So what does pride do to us? It puffs us up, so we think we are bigger than we really are. It twists us up so that our character is eroded, and it makes us restless. No peace for those who are filled with pride. Peril number four, pride makes us greedy. There's one for us to think about, right? Pride makes us greedy. Well, where do we see that in our text? Habakkuk 2 verse 5, our text says, he enlarges his desire as hell, and he is like death. Death, or the grave, is the meaning here of the word death. And death is very greedy, is it not? Every year, approximately 60 million people die, which is about 2 people every second, and 120 people every minute die. Is death greedy? You want to believe it. Many going out into crisis eternity without hope, without peace, and without Christ. The greediness of death. We talk about people who are as greedy as death. Death is always out to claim someone. The grave is always looking for someone. The proud person is like this. He gets greedy, always wanting to get more and get more and get more and get more. He's never satisfied. So this, we see this in our text here. Verse 5 says here, he cannot be satisfied. And the Babylonians were like this. They could never be satisfied. They wanted one more nation. Then they wanted another nation to destroy and have more of their spoils. And look at us. We conquered another nation. They were so full of pride, the Babylonians were. The story goes of a local pastor who joined a community service club. And the members decided that they would have some fun with him. So under his name, on his new badge that they presented to him, they had under his name Hog Collar. Well, not sure that was the idea for him, but they were trying to disrespect his occupation, I guess, a little bit here. And everyone made a big fanfare as the badge was presented to him. And so he received the badge. The pastor responded by saying, I usually am called the shepherd of the sheep, not the caller of the hogs. But then he said this, but I guess you know your people better than I do. Well, anyways, I think you got the last word on that one, didn't you? Good for him. Could be they were acting like greedy hogs. I don't know. But the Babylonians sure were. They were filled with greediness as a greedy hog. You ever seen a pig? How greedy they are? Wow, that's unbelievable. They're just not satisfied with a little bit of food. They wanted to get the other pig's food, right? And push them out of the way to get it. They're so greedy, hogs are. Well, the Babylonians were like this. They weren't satisfied with their great empire, so they'd sweep down and take over other nations like greedy hogs. Why? Because they were proud. They were restless. They were never satisfied with what they had. The Babylonians. Do you see it here? The proud person says, I want more. I want more. I want more. I don't have enough. The humble person, on the other hand, says, I have enough. I have Jesus. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. The words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4. And like Paul the Apostle, the only truly born-again Christian walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh, which is filled with pride, right? Not walking in the flesh, but in the Spirit, and in daily fellowship and communion with God every day in Jesus Christ, that person can experience contentment when everything else around them is restless and in chaos. You can experience contentment in your soul, in your heart, when all is well with you and Jesus, and you're walking in the Spirit of the Lord, and not the spirit of the flesh that wars within you every day, seeking you to be proud and filled with greediness and covetousness and selfishness and all those things. So, dear ones, are you ready for death when it strikes? No one knows when it will strike. Only God does. And that's why Scripture admonishes, prepare to meet your God. And only as you repent of sin and you believe on Jesus Christ and Him alone to give you new life and eternal life and choose to follow Jesus, can you too be ready when death strikes. Are you too prepared to meet God? Your righteous and holy judge one day. As Scripture teaches, it is appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. My friend, don't wait till tomorrow to choose Jesus. If you're here this morning, you're watching online today, don't wait till tomorrow. That's a lie of Satan to put into your head that you have another day. You have another week, you have another year, you have another season. You know, you don't need Jesus right now. Just wait, just wait. That's a lie of Satan. No, we don't know about tomorrow. That's why Scripture says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't wait till tomorrow to choose Jesus. Choose Him today. Don't be left behind to face the terrible judgment to come for the unbeliever. Choose Jesus today. Call upon Him today. One more thing that pride does here. Peril number 5. Pride makes us want a following. Pride makes us want a following. You ever see that? The end of verse 5, he says, he gathered to himself all nations. What's he say here? He gathered to himself all nations and he heaps up for himself all peoples. Pride makes us want a following. You see, someone who is proud always wants a following. They want to win a popularity vote. They want to have more people on their side. Interesting, Jesus taught just the opposite, did he not? Matthew 20, verse 27, and whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Not, come on my side. Come and be with me. No. How can I serve you? How can I help you? How can I minister to you? The humility that is so needed in our lives. The proud person says, I have to be the best. I have to be number one. Look at me, everybody. Whereas the humble person says, you're better than I am. You're better than I am. Philippians 2:3, Paul wrote, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Vainglory means pride or self-exaltation. But in lowliness of mind or in humility, let us esteem the other. What? Better than ourselves, right? That's swallowing pride. Hook, line, and sinker, isn't it? When I start disciplining my mind to think of others as better than me. Others better than me in the workplace. Others better than me in the school classroom or on the gymnasium floor or on the sports field or in my service to the Lord at a Bible camp. You know, there's a lot of kind of look at me kind of thing that can go on because I'm better with kids or I'm better at this or that. No. That other person is better than me. We need to have that proper estimate of ourselves. where others are looked at as being better than ourselves. Oh, that we would be like this and not go around tooting our own horn to gain a following, but rather esteeming the other as better than ourselves and humbly serving others. You want to deal with this idea of pride making us want a following? You want to combat that in the right way? Well, start serving other people rather than trying to get them to follow you. You just start serving them, right? In essence, isn't that being like Jesus? Isn't that the ultimate goal for every one of us as believers, to be more like Jesus? I can't be like Jesus if I'm always just thinking about myself and pride and wanting to be, look out everybody for me to be number one, wanting a following. That's not being like Jesus. Jesus said this, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, this is Jesus now, but to be served, to give his life a ransom for many. Here Jesus, the very Son of God, came to this earth, not for everybody to serve him. Oh, everybody, look at me now, bow down before me. No, he came to serve you and me. And you know what? To even give his life on the cross for each and every one of us. Is that not a servant or what? Wow. The perils of pride. C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, describes pride as the greatest sin in the world. And I would have to agree with that, because pride leads to a lot of other sins. In fact, it leads to these sins that Habakkuk talks about later in this chapter here, of covetousness and greed and meanness and idolatry and drunkenness. It leads to all those sins. Pride is a root issue here of these sins. Now, I realize there's a right kind of pride, right? Like, I have great pride in our 8 grandkids. You know, I have great pride in them. And I'm sure you have great pride in your grandkids, right? Or no doubt I'm proud about my son for grading, or my daughter for grading, or doing well in their music, or doing well in their sports game, or their field of sports. But then there's a wrong kind of pride. I have to be the best. I have to be number one. Look at me. That's a wrong kind of pride. And this is the kind of pride the Babylonians had. And it's a pride that God hates, right? Pride, someone said, is like having too much hot air in a balloon. Too much hot air in a balloon, you know what's going to happen. Poof, right? That balloon's going to burst if there's too much air in it. And so as a Christian, if I commit to the sin of pride or arrogance, what should I do to deflate the balloon before it bursts? What should I do? Well, may I suggest you, first of all, confess the sin of pride to the Lord. Confess the sin of pride. Get on your knees and confess any sin of pride in your heart before the Lord. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Claim his forgiveness as well. Claim his forgiveness. As you confess that sin to the Lord, you can claim his forgiveness as well. And then second, take the antidote to pride, humility. If you want to deflate the balloon of pride before it bursts, take the antidote to pride, humility, and you do that by praying. And you do that by asking God for his mercy to help you to be more humble and not to be filled with pride, not to be proud. Humility is the key to revival. If God is going to sweep revival across our land and across our communities and in our churches, we must be humble people and not pride. Not filled with pride. If my people, the Lord says in 2 Chronicles 7, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, not be filled with pride, but humble themselves and seek my face and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I heal their land and forgive their sins. Lord, bind me from the spirit of pride. Lord, set me free by your precious blood and grant me a Christ-like spirit of humility. And then thirdly, daily saturate your mind with the scriptures. You're not going to overcome pride if you're not in this book every day in your life. Because the longer you go without this book, the more pride-filled you're going to become. And you're going to start to think eventually that you don't even need God. Or you don't even need the church anymore. You don't need to pray anymore because you're so filled with pride. You're so filled with yourself. Right? That's what's going to happen if we don't spend time in this book every day. Scripture says, Psalm 119:11, Your word I have hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And then verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man or a young woman, or anyone for that matter, cleanse his way? And then he answers that by saying, by taking heed according to thy word. And then we need to serve others, number four. To deflate the balloon of pride, we need to serve others. Pride wants people to serve you. Humility chooses to serve others. And Jesus modeled this by dying on the cross, Philippians 2, verse 8. Do you remember what Paul wrote there? And being found in appearance as a man, speaking of Jesus, he humbled himself and became obedient. He humbled himself, right? Became obedient even to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Aren't you glad that Jesus wasn't thinking about himself when he went to that cross, but he was thinking of you? He had you and he had me on his mind. He was humble to think about us. You see, he was going to be taking the back seat, as it were, and not taking the steering wheel, to humble himself to go to that cross. He didn't have to. He could have called 10,000 angels to come and get him down off that cross and not go through that crucifixion. Jesus taught in Matthew 23:11, if you want to be truly great in God's kingdom, learn to be a servant. Serve others in the name of Jesus. And as I said, for the unbelieving, pride keeps a lot of people out of heaven. Oh, dear friend, don't let pride keep you out of heaven. Humble yourself today and admit your sin and repent of it and turn and call upon Jesus to save you, just as the publican of old did. Do you remember the Pharisee of old? He beat his chest and said, oh, I thank God that I'm not as so-and-so is. And then that poor publican, he just went over and he knelt down and he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. And God saved that humble publican that admitted his sin, admitted his need of Jesus, and called upon Jesus to save him. And he'll do the same for you if you humble yourself and turn from your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and say, just as that publican did, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. That's all you have to do. And he'll come in and he'll save you. But you have to be humble. You have to admit that you can't do it on your own, but that he did it all for you. Will you do that today if you haven't already? Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word being spoken to us, God. We want to be humble people because you work when there's humility. And God, if there's any pride in my heart here this morning, that you would reveal that to me. God, if there's any pride that is keeping me from fellowship with you and fellowship with other believers, God, please reveal it to me right now. And God, if there's somebody here this morning, either here in our congregation or watching online, that is an unbeliever, and pride is keeping them from coming to Jesus. Pride in thinking, well, what is everybody else going to think if I come to Jesus? Or, I don't really need Jesus. I don't really need the church. I'm okay. I'll get by. And they're listening to the lies of the evil one. And I pray whoever they are today, God, oh God, please break through their hardened, proud heart and humble them, God. Bring them to their knees. Bring them to Jesus today, the one who will change them from the inside out and give them a brand new life and will make them humble and make them more like Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.